Today, we continue with part two of our interview with author and professor Richard Heinberg on the subject of peak oil. Peak oil, as you may remember, is the point where production begins a permanent decline. Heinberg noted that we are about to experience a long-term decline in oil production, and the markets know it. The traders and the business people know that basically the jig is up.
Oh, yes, very clearly. It's really astounding how much agreement there is on nearly all sides. There are still a few holdouts. ExxonMobil, for example, has been taking out ads saying that the peak oil theory, they call it, is nonsense. And of course, ExxonMobil is also the company that's been telling us for the last 7 years or so that global warming is all in our minds. And their attitude is not shared by the rest of the petroleum industry.
This is such an important issue. Why do you think it hasn't gotten more media coverage and more attention in Congress?
There's a saying in the newsroom, if it bleeds, it leads. Well, this is not a story that immediately bleeds. It's a story that requires that we take a long-term overview, and it requires some background education. Not too many news outlets are willing to undertake the process of educating their readers or viewers to that extent. Then for politicians, there's really no upside to this story. If you can point out a problem in the world and then point out some bad actor and say that you're going to fix the problem and you have a solution, every politician likes to do that. But if there's a problem for which there is no easy, immediate solution, whose solution will actually require some very difficult behavioral changes that nobody really wants to undertake unless they absolutely have to, that's a message no politician wants to be associated with.
How about the new Apollo project that Congressman Jay Inslee and others have put forward? Is that gaining any traction?
Well, of course, that's going in the right direction. I think a new Apollo project is understating the scope of what's actually required here. What we really need is something on the order of World War II level of effort plus. We've really boxed ourselves in a corner in this country as far as oil is concerned because we've created an urban infrastructure, interurban transportation systems, agricultural system, all completely dependent on oil at every stage. We could have done things differently. We actually had much better public transportation systems in most cities back in the 1940s. Most of those public transportation systems were actually bought up and destroyed by a consortium of General Motors, Firestone, and Standard Oil of California, which is a tragedy we'll be living with for the next several decades. So it's not so much that American consumers just decided they didn't want public transportation. That option was forcibly removed. We're in a difficult situation in this country. Most Americans live in suburban areas, commute to work, and literally could not live without their cars. Farmers could not grow their crops if they did not have chemical pesticides, fertilizers, herbicides, if they didn't have fossil-fueled farm machinery and the ability to transport their crop in large quantities, long distances.
That's really, to me, the most ominous of all of the problems is associated with agriculture.
All of these things can be solved. We can reform our agricultural system, and ultimately we're going to have to. The question is, will we do it in a proactive way, in a systematic way, or will we simply wait until all hell breaks loose?
Amongst people who follow this issue, it seems that the discussion has shifted from whether or not we'll experience peak oil to what do we do now?
Very clearly, a country like the U.S. has a lot of slack. We could reduce our petroleum consumption quite dramatically. But the thing is, in order to do it systematically and without economic harm, we're going to have to do it gradually and in a planned way. We're going to have to make much more fuel-efficient cars and move away from car-only transportation. We're going to have to rebuild our public transportation infrastructure so that people have options. That's going to be a good thing. And ultimately, I think the best thing would be a global oil depletion protocol that the countries of the world could sign on to, where they would, in effect, be agreeing to reduce their oil dependence by about 3% a year.
Who's working on solutions with a chance of success?
Well, Sweden is at the forefront here. The Prime Minister of Sweden has come out and said that global peak oil is a serious problem, and the way they're going to deal with it is to reduce their reliance on oil completely by 2020. So incrementally, year by year, they're going to reduce their oil consumption. Now that, in my opinion, is the way that all the countries of the world should be going. Cuba has done something similar. Cuba has actually been in kind of an energy famine since the end of the Soviet bloc. And the Cuban parliament has declared 2006 the year of the energy transition. And they're actually planning on slashing their energy dependency, and particularly fossil fuel dependency, in the next few years. Ireland has just come out with a government report outlining the vulnerability of that country to future supply shocks and price shocks for oil. And so I think that the government of Ireland is probably going to join Sweden in very near term in finding some plan for reducing oil dependency.
Some small countries have recognized their vulnerability and are taking action. But what about the U.S.? What are we doing as a nation? Find out next time as we continue our interview with Richard Heinberg.